we look at Proverbs 1 again today, we're moving down to verse 8. And it has a lot to do with this mission that Rebecca is going on. This mission of justice. We have spoken, and those of you who have joined me in the early Sunday morning class, we have now been meeting for, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years, something like that. And as the book after book that we have been going through, it has become very, very clear, particularly through the last months of going through the prophets, through Isaiah over a course of a couple years, and then now through the minor prophets, which are a lot quicker going through that. But, you know, the theme of God's heart continues to come back to the call for justice and righteousness and equity in his own people. Let us not be ignorant and even arrogant about the fact that there is great suffering. There's great suffering with these young ladies who are being taken away and trafficked and sold off into slavery. It's our current life's slavery issue, to be honest. And so I ask that you would really think about that as it comes to Proverbs chapter 1 and its call to us to become the people of God's word, the people of God's heart, the people of God's action. As Brian was sharing with the children and with us, understand that this is not just a call to understand. And I love the fact that Rebecca has found that niche, and she's not only come to an understanding of it, a knowledge of it, but she puts it into practice to emphasize it and to illuminate it into our hearts. And Rebecca, I've heard recently that it has affected people's lives. The fact that you have taken a stand for that. And it should affect our lives because it affects God's heart. And the things that break the heart of God should break our hearts. It should break our heart as a body of Christ coming together. It should torment us that these young ladies are being shipped away and being abused and mistreated. That should break the heart of the church of God. But only if we have the mindset and the wisdom, the perspective, the power of God living through us will it ever make a difference. It's the only way it will ever make a difference in my life, in your life, in the life of this church, the way we act and respond. It's the only way that it will ever make a lasting effect upon this world. If we allow the power of Christ to rule. So let's begin Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and don't reject your mother's teaching, for they will be a garland of grace on your head and a gold chain around your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, don't be persuaded. If they say, come with us, let us set an ambush and kill someone, and let's attack some innocent person just for fun. Let's swallow them alive like Sheol. Still healthy as they go down to the pit, we'll find all kinds of valuable property and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we'll all share our money. My son, don't travel that road with them or set foot on their path because their feet run towards trouble and they hurry to commit murder. It is foolish to spread a net where any bird can see it. But they set an ambush to kill themselves. They attack their own lives. Such are the paths of all who make profit dishonestly. It takes the lives of those who receive it. Now, if you would flip over to the last two verses of this same chapter, and we'll fill in the middle, don't worry. But verse 32 and 33 say this, for the turning away of the inexperienced will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live securely and be free from the fear of danger. Father God, this day, we pray for your heart. We pray for your mind. We pray for your justice to be knit into our very bones, O God. That you would transform our hearts from hearts of stone as it comes to justice and injustice and truth and untruth. And that you would, Lord God, make it into a heart of clay. That you will form us and make us into your very image, O God. May we be your church this day, O God. May we be your people, people of your word. I pray this by your power, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we continue to settle in and talk about the vision statement, here we go, right before us. Thriving, multiplying, joy-filled. Can you say those three things with me? Thriving, multiplying, joy-filled. Followers of Jesus Christ, growing deeper in understanding. If you were to kind of summarize, everything that we are trying to distill this down into, we are talking about becoming those kind of followers of Christ who are thriving, multiplying, and joy-filled. That we're spreading out our shoots, and as I say that, we have to stop and we have to pray for our brothers and sisters in Jamestown today. They've begun their church service. I believe it's at 10 o'clock. So they're a half an hour in. Rachel is there. There are a number of people traveling. I think Laura's down there as well. A small band of Amherstonians down there in Jamestown working. Lord God, I pray that you empower Edwin, Lord God, with your word, that you would encourage him, Lord God, that you would fill him and fill their needs, Lord Jesus. Lord God, may your kingdom come there in Jamestown. May your will be done there in Jamestown in their hearts, Lord God. We pray for a spirit of salvation to rain down upon them. And we pray that for here as well, Lord God, that those who have kept you and your wisdom and your grace and your salvation at a distant hand length away, that, Lord God, that you would rain down your understanding and your salvation upon our hearts today. We pray this in your name. Amen. As we look at the shoots that are coming down, that we're thriving, multiplying, joy-filled, that we're spreading out this, not just into our missional prongs to Willow Ridge. Again, we thank you. 50 of you have come out to minister to Willow Ridge last Tuesday night. What a beautiful sight that was. Hundreds of people coming through. That's great. That's a prong. UB, we're going to see that in the ISI thing coming up on the 20th. I hope that you'll participate in that. That's a great prong. But you know what? The trunk is right here. The trunk of wisdom and God's grace is built up right in this midst right here. And I know that we have people traveling here and there this week. Let's remember to pray because they are part of us. Whether you're here, whether you're distant, whether you're traveling, whether you're wherever you are, Wilson's, no matter where you are, I don't care if you're in Tampa, you are part of us, and they're a part of the kingdom of God on the move. Rachel, when she leaves here tonight, she heads out to Kansas City, she is part of us moving off to another place. The grace, the wisdom that you have sown into her life is going to be taken by the grace of Christ, by the grace of God, and going to be poured into Midwestern Seminary is where she's going, Kansas City. Wherever we go, into our places of work, wherever it may be, that's where wisdom follows us. Now this seems like it's talking to a bunch of kids. My son, my daughter, listen to your father's instruction and don't reject your mother's teaching. Just as we have been adhering to these truths, that we are thriving, that we are multiplying, that in Christ we are joy-filled. Just as we have been here, we have new truths, but they're similarly used. My son, you are to be wise. In Christ, people of God, people of God's word, we are wise. We have opportunity to live wise lives. So not only do we live by the truths of our vision, but God has so many truths to dig into our lives, to prosper our way. And so he says, listen, my son, listen to your father's instruction, and don't reject your mother's teaching. For they will be a garland of grace on your head and a gold chain. He's talking about the rewards of being a good student. This is not talking about the A+ report card coming home. This, in all intents and purposes, this is talking about a young person being homeschooled right there in the midst. Now, we all have, anybody who has children, we're all homeschoolers of some sort, I hope. I pray to God that you have some form of schooling, of discipline within your own home. Whether you send your kids to public school or not, the Proverbs are teaching us this, mothers and fathers, we have a commitment that we must make to drive our children to wisdom. I'll tell you this, there is nothing that has sickened my heart more as a youth pastor for those years, for these years still, than to see parents who will come to me, Christian men and women of God, who will say of their own kids, I'm not going to push them towards what I believe. I'm just going to let them, and they may say this in these words or not, you know what I'm talking about, sow their wild oats. I'm going to let them find God on their own. I'm going to let them walk their own way. God forbid that we become the people of God that just send our kids out to figure out life for themselves. We are called as God's people to raise up our kids in the admonition and the wisdom of God, in the truth of God. They're not supposed to go out and try to find it themselves and stumble and fall on their faces. I'll tell you this, time and time again, I don't know of a single time when any parent has ever said that to me, that I've looked down 20 years later and seen their children walk in the ways of God. Never. I can tell you 100% of the time, parents who have gone into life with that perspective. I'm talking about Christian parents who go into it with that perspective. Now, non-Christian parents who have that, we expect that of them. And kids oftentimes will come to Christ and be believers and strengthened despite their parents in that regard. But Christian parents who supposedly adhere to the Word of God and then just send their children out to figure it out for themselves, that's just lazy. That is a travesty of the Christian church today, that we think that our children should not have to adhere to the words of their mother and father. Like that was something from the past. My friends, Proverbs is not a book from the past so much as it a book for today. It is God's word for today. And it's not just mothers and fathers. It is elders and other people in your life. And I don't mean church elders. I'm talking about people who are older than us, that have lived in experience. They have lived out life with God, and they can point you in a way. Can we humble ourselves no matter what our age, no matter what our gender, no matter what our denomination? Can we humble ourselves to hear and listen to the Word of God as it is spoken through each other? This is the call of wisdom upon our lives. People ask if I still listen to my father's wisdom and instruction. You better believe I do. Not simply because he's an elder of the church, like he's got some kind of leash around my neck. It's not that at all. At a young age, I learned and I realized to listen to my father's instruction is life. And I'll tell you, there was one time, and I won't get into it, but there was one time in my early adulthood where I rejected my father's discipline, or I should say my father's instruction. And it was a very calm and gentle thing. He was not demanding it of me, but he said, you ought not to go down this road, and I did it, and I paid a dear consequence for it that lasted well into my marriage. Years and years and years of consequence, financial difficulty that followed because I did not adhere. Now, you can say, you can listen to that or you can't. All I'm saying is this. As a young man growing up in a Christian family that was pushing me towards knowing and adhering to the word and wisdom of God, there is a truth to be had here. There is a principle to be had here. Listen. Listen to your father's instruction. Adhere to your mother's wisdom because they have walked the road before you. And don't be so arrogant, students. Don't be so presumptuous, youth. Young adults, grown adults, let's not be so arrogant that we forsake wisdom when it's staring us right in the face. Simple enough. Simple enough, absolutely. But if it doesn't rule our hearts, we are people who have gone astray. The wisdom of God. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. For they will be the reward. Your mother's instruction will be the reward. The rewards that those who listen and learn and they walk according to those ways, the garland, the crown, the crown of life, however you want to look at it, this is the reward that is given to those who walk wisely. I feel sorry for students who have learned that they can just put aside or put off the wisdom of those who have gone before them. Do we not see a world that is full of that mentality? And what a travesty. How many more heroin addicts do we need in the city of Buffalo before this becomes apparent to us? And if you don't think those are coming out of Christian families as well, and suburban families, as well as urban families, and unbelieving families, and rural families, and all across the spectrum, that's just one thing. How many people do we get to see going astray, young people going astray, until we figure out that this is real life? These Proverbs are speaking to us. My son, if sinners entice you, now the parents are speaking, and they're kind of giving some quotes here. If they entice you, don't be persuaded. If they say, come with us, let us set an ambush and kill somebody. Now, you look at this, and we can read the whole thing through again. Why in the world would the Proverbs, I mean, we're right out of the box here, right? This is still Proverbs chapter 1. Why do we start off going so extreme? Why all the violence? Why does God, in his sovereignty, he's starting to speak about walking according to the ways and the knowledge of God, and yet he starts off talking about things that, quite honestly, I mean, how many of you guys have thought about joining the mob this past week? How many of you guys have decided maybe that you wanted to join a gang? Now, maybe you wouldn't raise your hand, per se, just because I'm calling you out or something like that. But my guess is that even if there was a tinge of interest in you, you're talking about a very tiny percentage of people. And so it was in the day when this was written. It wasn't like the typical Hebrew boy was he was getting up in the morning and thinking, hey, should I go and pillage a town today? Should I go and do some kind of travesty to a bunch of people, unsuspecting people? It wasn't like the great proportion of people. So what is the Proverbs speaking to us? Because this is more than just about gang warfare and gangbanging and mafia and that kind of stuff. It's not just talking about that kind of violence. This is talking about discernment. Understanding the voice of the person who speaks to you. My son, listen. Listen to my instructions, because what I'm going to give to you is truth. And it's a pointer towards justice and integrity and true good life. Listen to your mother, because what she has to say to you comes out of her experience of how people have maybe mistreated her, or how she has walked through life, through the ardors of life, through the difficulties and the struggles. Listen to your mother. Three invitations that we're going to talk about, and that's your first one. The first one is, and we're invited to listen to wisdom that has gone before us. The experienced. Now understand, discernment, let me define that for you. Discernment is the understanding between truth and untruth. It's the understanding of the voice of truth as it compares, as it contrasts to the voice of untruth. So when he says, listen to my voice, he's saying, listen to the voice of truth. When he says, don't listen to their voice, he's saying, don't listen to the voice of untruth. Is there any voice of untruth being spoken in your life today? If you're not aware of it, you need to open your ears a little. There is untruth in virtually every commercial you see. There is untruth in virtually every television show that you watch. There is untruth that is being rung into our brains at every billboard we cross, just about, not every single one. But virtually every place we look, there's a tinge of untruth. In the same way as Satan sitting in the tree gives you a little bit of truth, and then he gives us that little bit of untruth. This is called, wisdom is calling for us to discern between what is truthful and what is untruthful. And it's speaking into this young man. We'll call him the simple man. Now understand, in this context, as I've said in the last couple weeks, simple is not just talking, it's not at all talking about somebody who is just completely immoral, somebody who is just filled with this sinful life. No, we're talking about a simple person as being an inexperienced person, an ignorant person, somebody who just doesn't get it because they haven't been down that road. You get that? So when we're talking to this young man, this simple young man, we're saying, listen, because you're simple. And I'm telling you guys, if you youth cannot put yourself into this, if you children cannot put yourself into this, you're missing something really obvious. Because this is the obvious point. This is the very shallow kind of part of it. He's saying, young people, listen to those who have gone before you. To go a little bit deeper, though, we all are simple in some way. And if you can't see that, you need to look into yourself a little bit better. There are ways in our life that we are simple, that we are ignorant, and we have to be aware that there are those someplace in our lives that have wisdom, that have knowledge of certain things that we need to humble ourselves and submit ourselves to. This is what we call, this is what we talked about these last couple of weeks of discipline. Submitting ourselves to the rule of God in our lives and to the truth of God in our lives. So we have this simple person who is being spoken to, invited to, listen to wisdom. The second invitation is he's invited to ignore untruth. Ignore the voice of a violent person. Ignore the voice of one who wants to take you away from the truth. Ignore this person. Invitation number two. If they say, come with us, ignore them. Let us set an ambush. Let us kill someone. Let's attack some innocent person just for fun. Let's swallow them alive like Sheol. Ignore them. Unless we misunderstand, violence is not simply bloodshed. It is a reference to all forms of injustice. And that young boy, that Hebrew boy, raises up in the morning. He's hearing these proverbs spoken into his life. He has an understanding that God is speaking into his life. Okay, the violent men, violence takes a lot of different forms. Bloodshed is one of them. But that snappy, cutting, put down, that sarcasm that rips people's lives out of their hearts is also violent. That young lady who is being taken from a place where she considers it to be safe and take it into an unsafe situation, that is violence. The abuse that goes on in homes, clearly violence. But so is this concept of bullying that's going on in schools. That's violence. It may not be beating somebody up, but tearing them down, ripping them apart, the sarcastic tones that tear and rip people down, that's violence. What this young man is to hear, what we as adults even are to hear, is that when we walk this way, we are not walking the ways of truth. We are not walking the ways of grace. We are not walking the ways of Christ. And ultimately, we are not walking the ways of freedom and security. You see, those last two verses there at the end of chapter 1, verse 32 and 33, it really summarizes the entirety of Proverbs chapter 1. But the one who will listen to my voice, the one who will walk according to my ways, but whoever listens to me will live securely and free from the fear of danger. Why does somebody enter a gang? Why does somebody enter into the mob or any other violent form of gathering, secret society of any kind that would harm people? We're trying to cling to our security. I want you to stop and I want you to think. How much of your last week has been based around, in some form or fashion, building up or holding on to your security, your possessions, your freedoms, your liberty? How about your conversations? How much of our life, go back to the commercials, the TV, the radio, all these things that bombard into our mind, how much of it is enticing us to fight for our own security, to fight for our own freedoms? Now, our United States of America has been built on such things. It's been built on the concept that we have the rights to property. We have the right to rights. We have this right. And understand, the gospel of Christ is not against freedom or security or property or the good life. The gospel simply redefines what all those things actually mean. It redefines wisdom, the perspective, and the power of God redefines what we believe is security and freedom. And the good life. If you acquire just to acquire and you leave behind those who are persecuted, those who are being sold into slavery, those who are the least of these, those who are the poor, the outsider, the alien, those who are coming from the outside in, the immigrants. If we are living in this life, this good life that we so say, and we are forgetting those, there is nothing of Christ in that response. There is nothing of wisdom in that. You see, wisdom has to produce a righteous action, a righteous indignation towards that. Our brother, Ken Walker, he used to be a part of this ministry here at Amherst. You guys have heard him in the radio, perhaps, in the news, or whatever. And, you know, I sent him a note at some point during the week, and I just wanted to encourage him. And one of the words I said, Ken, I am following your story, and I am so furious. I am so infuriated that somebody would treat anybody. And my own friend being, you know, that all the more, but that anybody would be treated this way. The righteous indignation within us should be against injustice. And if your heart doesn't burn against that, then our hearts perhaps are burning with something other than what God's heart is burning with. What does that make us? If we don't cry and get broken about the travesty of trafficking, or children who are going to bed without food tonight, and across the United States and across the world, if that doesn't break our hearts, and I don't say you have to empty out your bank account so much, that's not exactly what I'm saying. But if it doesn't break us, that should give us a little indication of where our hearts are at. If we're not willing to put up with some inconvenience, I mean, 250 miles, that's pretty inconvenient. I'm not sure how I'd be feeling after 250 miles, but that's pretty inconvenient. If you're not willing to put up with some, and maybe that's simple, that's an easy thing in some ways, but if we're not willing to put up with some inconvenience in order to bring about an enlightenment into the things of injustice, the things that are go against God's heart, what part of wisdom do we have? You see, what he's saying here is such truth. Don't hearken unto the voice of these treacherous, untruthful people. And yet, we have our ears open to treachery all the time. Maybe more so, we have our ears closed to the sound of injustice so much of the time. And if it's one, it's the other. If you are not listening and have a heart for those things which are breaking the heart of God, how much of an ear do you have to the things that are truthful coming from him? How much of your notice is being taken of the things that are not of God? The signals are coming from every place. And we as the body of Christ, we have got to open our ears to the things, the cries of those who are unjustly treated. And we need to start closing our ears to some of this junk that would pervade upon our minds and our hearts, that demand us to gain our own rights and our own freedoms and our own security. The things that prevail upon our day after day. And I don't care what talk show host you listen to, what radio you listen to. You know what? Some of it's good and some of it's bad. All I'm saying is this. Jesus Christ is not either party in these politics. Jesus Christ stands alone as the holy God of all things. And he says, whether you are this party or that party makes no difference to me. I want you to have the heart of God in all of it. Seek out to help those who are struggling and in need. Pour yourselves out generously to those who are the immigrant. Now, I'm not talking about policy. Don't get me mixed up. I'm not making any political speech here at all. I'm not talking about policy. I'm talking about Jesus Christ living in our lives. That's different than what our government may do. Our hearts should be towards those things that burden the heart of God, period. I don't care what the policies are. I don't care what the platforms are. Let us be the people of God in the midst of all of that. We overcome that. Our King is greater than all of that. And he can take the best of any party and every group and everything. He takes the best of the best because he's the one that created it. That all good and perfect things come from him. So every good idea that came from into any person's mind, anything of justice, of mercy, of grace, it all comes from God's heart. That is our heart. We take the best of the best, and that is who we are. We are people of the King, people of his word, people of his freedom. And so I am free in the power, in the perspective of Jesus Christ to pour my life out, to give like nobody else has given, to listen to greater and greater wisdom in my life at all times, and then to pour it out into the lives of others. That is who we are as the people of God. There's the truth. Thriving, multiplying, joy-filled. Can you do that? Of course you can in the power of Jesus Christ. Can you be lovers of justice? Can you be people of integrity in the midst of this political climate? Can that be possible? Of course it is, because we are not subdued to the ways of this world. We are higher and mightier and better because we are children of the King. One person agrees, but that's okay, because I'm not here to be voted upon. Okay? No, I know that more of you are with me than that. But understand, The gospel is not calling out for us to... the gospel doesn't call us to some communist way of life that we must mandate ourselves to just give ourselves away. The gospel is all about life and security and justice and liberty. It's all about that. Just allow Him to define that. Allow God's perspective to define that. Not even our Constitution. As much as I highly laud the Constitution of the United States and the great work of God that did, not even the Constitution should define for you what the principles of God. Because we know right now, depending on who's in the Supreme Court, man, the Constitution is going to get shifted. It is already unsettling. The Constitution is on weak knees right now. What am I gonna, are we as a church going to subdue ourselves to the Constitution or to the greater Constitution, the greater will of God in all things, start to finish? May we be that people of God's word, that wisdom pervades upon us. So when it comes to, let it lay it down. It says, my son, verse 15, don't travel that road with them or set foot on their path because their feet, listen to this, their feet run to trouble. And they hurry to commit murder. It's a foolish thing to spread a net where a bird can see it. But they set an ambush to kill themselves. They attack their own lives. Such are the paths of all who make profit dishonestly. And it takes the lives of those who receive it. This is given a little picture here. He says it's foolishness to spread the trap out in front of the one you're trying to trap. But that being said, the Proverbs are wise, right? It's a little riddle. Remember, Proverbs are full of riddles and things that you have to work out. They're not just easily discerned sometimes. It's that you have to think them through and work them out. And what God is saying is this. I mean, have you ever set a trap for any kind of animal? I know, Jason Kirkeslager, you've set traps for all kinds of things. How many times have you caught a bird? Many times. And guess what? It really doesn't matter where that bird was when he set the trap. He could have been sitting right over the top of him. That bird thinks of one thing, the food that's inside there. And if he happens to get tangled up in the net on the way out, he didn't see it coming. This is kind of, it actually sounds opposite of what it's actually saying. It's a little proverbial riddle here. What God is saying is the fool can see the trap. He's laying out for himself, for the crying out loud. He's laying out a trap for somebody else. And yet he is the one that's going to fall in the middle. He can't even help himself from going after the very food that he puts out there to bait others. And he will get his own. He is going to fall into his trap. He is going to become the downtrodden because you can't escape the wisdom and justice of God. It is foolish to spread a net where the bird can see it, but yet they set an ambush to kill themselves. Look at what it's saying. Who are they ambushing? They ambush themselves. They kill themselves. They attack their own lives. And such is the way of those who profit dishonestly. You see, the father and mother, coming back to that, they're giving this instruction. They're saying, my simple son, and they're saying it lovingly, right? Simple, inexperienced young man. We have walked before you and we've seen some ways of life. And I want to share with you this. Don't walk this way because it will lead you to death. I invite you to listen to my wisdom. Ignore their so-called wisdom, their untruthfulness, because they are walking themselves into treachery. They are walking themselves into a death trap themselves. And all those who are fools will go down. See, the simple young man now has an opportunity to make a choice. The simple, as I said, are not inherently evil. They're inexperienced and unwise in that way. But when the ignorance becomes thoughtful adherence, he becomes a fool. And there's a progression here. When a simple young man makes a choice to follow after the unjust, those without integrity, those who are violent, those who are violent with their lips, those who are violent in any form and part of their body, if he follows after them, he is no longer the simple man. He is now the fool. And so goes down every fool. He will be caught in his own trap. He will come to his own demise. And so I look at these parents who sit back and they just say, I don't really want to teach my kid too much about the truth of God's word. I'm going to let them kind of try to find this stuff out for themselves. The Bible makes it pretty clear where their end is. Why would you want that for your child? So young families, young parents, I beseech you in the name of Jesus Christ, seek after truth. Teach your children to be discerning, to listen to the voice of those who speak into their lives. Mature adults, mature believers in Christ, I beseech you in the name of Jesus Christ, be people of discernment. Listen to the voice of those who are speaking and choose truth and life. Ignore and forsake this voice of untruth. Verse 20, we finish up with, as we come to our Lord's table, we'll have the men come and set up even right now. Wisdom calls out in the street, and she raises her voice in the public squares. She cries out above the commotion. She speaks at the entrance of the city's gates. How long, O foolish ones, will you love ignorance? And then she says, in finishing up her statement, whoever listens to me will live securely and be free from the fear of danger. God's wisdom, God's truth, is life and grace to all who would listen to it, to all who would adhere to it. Jesus Christ has shown the way to wisdom. Not only did he live it out, but he paid the price for us to have open eyes to see the way of wisdom. What a great act that he commits at the cross. To be the man who would set himself up for such a great fall, and yet to rise again, to be at the right hand of the Father. Father God, today as we remember you and that great act, that wise act, that holy act, that selfless act, that beautiful act of righteous favor towards us, Lord God, that you have poured yourself out in this way. Lord God, we love you all the more. The more we think about it, the more we contemplate it, Father God, our love for you grows. I thank you for walking the path of wisdom while you were here, so that you were able to stand there, to hang there in our place. I thank you, Lord God, for teaching the ways of wisdom as you walked here on this earth, that we may learn from you in your very words. And I thank you even today, Lord God, because of your death, because of your resurrection, because of your going back into heaven, that your words of wisdom, your spirit lives within us today. What a great, great day it is when we accept you into our lives and receive your wisdom, your power, and your truth. Blessed be your name. We thank you for all these things in your name.